My Favorite Chaperone, Part 2. I walked into the main office, where Miss Johnson was waiting for me. Come with me, Maya. Miss Johnson smiled at Mr. Walsh. Thanks, Tom. Like a person made from wood, a puppet, I followed Miss Johnson through the main office, down the hall, to her office across from the principal's. She showed me in and closed the door behind us. Sit down, dear. I sat in a chair across from her desk and clutched my books to my chest. I'd never been in her office before. She had many nice green plants in front of the window, and a small fish tank in one corner. I stared at the brightly colored fish, swimming back and forth, back and forth. Then Miss Johnson spoke. I received a call from Mr. Shaneman, the principal at Evergreen Elementary, and your brother's been suspended for fighting.
Nurzon?
Yes, Nurzon Alazova. She read his name from a pink message slip. They haven't been able to locate your mother, so they called over here to see if you could help.
Is Nurzon all right?
Yes, and I believe the other boy wasn't seriously hurt.
Who did Nurzon fight?
It was a foolish question. I was sure of the answer. Miss Johnson hesitated, so I just said, Ozzy Nashizono, and she nodded.
What must I do?
I asked. The school policy on suspension requires that the parent or guardian must have a conference at school within 24 hours of the suspension. Can you help us locate your mother or your father?
Yes, I can do that.
Do your parents speak English, Maya?
Just a little.
Then perhaps you could attend the meeting and translate for them.
Yes, I must always do this for my parents. At the store, at the doctor, things like that.
Here's the phone. I'll step out to give you some privacy. Miss Johnson left the office, quietly closing the door behind her. I looked at the nameplate on her desk. Catherine Johnson, it said. Outside her window, the sky was gray and it had started to rain. I stared at the phone, wishing I didn't have to be the messenger with this bad news. Then I called the Northwest Cab Company and asked them to contact my father. Ibek Alazova, Cab 191. I'm his daughter, and there is a family problem I must speak with him about. I stayed on the line while the dispatcher radioed Papa. I looked at the clock and felt my heart grow heavy. In a minute, the bell would ring, school would be out, and the gymnastics meet would begin.
Maya, Papa's voice was alarmed. What is wrong?
Nurzon has been in a fight with another boy. Then I explained in Russian what had happened. And Papa said he had to drop his passenger at the Four Seasons Hotel downtown. And then he'd come straight to Nurzon School. He'd be there about 3:30. Miss Johnson came back into the office as I hung up the phone.
Did you get your mother?
I don't have the number where she works today, but I got my father. He will come to the school.
Good.
Miss Johnson?
Yes.
I will leave now for Evergreen. Will you tell Miss Coe I have a family problem and cannot attend the gymnastics meet?
Of course, and I'll call Mr. Shaneman at Evergreen now and let him know that you and your father will be there.
I went to my locker, got my coat, then walked quickly down the hall to the south door that opens onto the play field that joins our school with Evergreen. Poor Nurzon, getting in such big trouble. I couldn't fault him for fighting with Ozzy Nishizono. Such a mean boy. He'd been teasing Nurzon without mercy for not speaking well and mispronouncing things. I hoped Nurzon had given him a hard punch. But why did he have to make this fight today? I felt angry that I had to miss the meet because of Nurzon. Would Miss Coe still want me on the team? Would she think I wasn't reliable? But as I neared Nurzon School, my old school, I only worried about Papa. Even though he didn't shout at me on the phone, that didn't mean he wasn't angry. He had a person in his cab, and the dispatcher might have been hearing us. Probably the dispatcher didn't know Russian, but Papa wouldn't show his anger in the cab anyway. But Papa could be very, very angry. Not just with Nurzon, but with me too. He and Mama think it's my duty to watch out for Nurzon and keep him out of trouble. As I walked up to the front door, Mr. Zabernick, the custodian, waved to me. He was picking up papers and litter around the bushes next to the front walk.
It was still raining lightly, and Mr. Zabernick's wet gray hair was pasted against his forehead. "Hi, Maya."
"Hello, Mr. Zabernick."
"Hear about your brother, I supposed."
"How did you know?"
"I was fixing the drain pipe when it happened." He pointed to the corner of the building by the edge of the playfield. "That kid, Ossie Nishizono, was teasing Nerzon something fierce, telling him he could never be a real American, making fun of the way he talked." He bent down and picked up a candy wrapper. "Reminded me of how this bully used to treat me when my family came here after the revolution."
"Oh."
I think Mr. Zabernet could tell I didn't know what revolution this was. "The Hungarian Revolution, in 1956. He looked out over the playfield and folded his arms across his chest. "Guess some things never change. Nerzon's going to be suspended."
"Sorry to hear that. Course, the school can't allow fights, and this was no scuffle. But I can sure see how your brother lost his temper."
Then he went back to picking up the litter. "Good luck."
"Thank you, Mr. Zabernick."
I went to the front office, where Miss Illo, the head secretary, spoke to me in a very kind way. "Maya, Mr. Shaneman is waiting for you in his office. You can go right in." Mr. Shaneman was behind his big desk, and Nerzon was sitting on a chair in the corner. He looked like a rabbit caught in a trap. He had scrapes on his hands and on his cheek, and his eyes were puffed up. I couldn't tell if that was from crying or being hit. "I understand your father will be coming. Is that right, Maya?"
I nodded.
"Just take a seat by your brother. Miss Illo will bring your father in when he gets here." Then Mr. Shaneman read some papers on his desk, and I sat down next to Nerzon and spoke quietly to him in Russian. "Nichivo, Nerzon. Ya ves nevinu." "It's okay, Nerzon. I don't blame you," is what I said. Nerzon's eyes were wet with tears as he nodded to me. I stared out the principal's window. Across the street, the bare branches of the trees were black against the cement gray sky. The rain came down in a steady drizzle, and after a few minutes, I saw Papa's cab turn the corner. His cab is green, the color of a lime, and he always washes and shines it. I watched Papa park and get out of the cab. His shoulders are very broad underneath his brown leather jacket, and Papa has a powerful walk, like a large, strong horse that plows fields. He walked briskly, and as he came up the steps of the school, he removed his driver's cap. It seemed like 1,000 years, but it was only a minute before Mrs. Illo brought Papa into the office. Nerzon and I stood up when he entered, but he didn't look at us, only at Mr. Shaneman, who shook hands with him and motioned for him to have a seat. Papa sat across the desk from Mr. Shaneman and placed his driver cap in his lap. "We have asked Maya to translate, Mr. Alizova."
"Yes," Papa nodded.
When he heard my name, he understood what Mr. Shaneman meant. "Your son Nerzon was involved in quite a nasty fight." Papa looked at me, and I said to him in Russian, "Nerzon was in a little fight." Mr. Shaneman continued, "The other boy, Ossie Nishizono, needed 2 stitches at the hospital." "The other boy, Ossie Nishizono, was a little hurt," I told Papa. Nerzon's eyes became wide as he listened to my translation. "We have a policy that anyone who fights must be suspended from school. Both boys will receive a 2-day suspension." "The other boy, who is very bad," I translated for Papa, "is not allowed to come to school for 2 days, and his parents must punish him. Nerzon must stay home too, but he should not be punished so much." Papa nodded. Then Mr. Shaneman said, "We've been told the other boy was teasing your son. We'd like you to help Nerzon find ways to handle this situation without resorting to violence. We're working with the other boy to help him show respect for all students." I looked at Papa and translated. "The other boy was teasing Nerzon in a violent manner. This boy will be punished and must learn to respect all students. We understand how Nerzon became so angry, and we ask that you punish him by not allowing him to watch television." "Yes, I will punish my son as you suggest," Papa said in Russian. I looked at Mr. Shaneman. My father says he will teach Nerzan not to fight by giving him a very serious punishment.
We are glad you understand the serious nature of this situation, Mr. Shaneman said.
Then I told Papa in Russian the exact words of Mr. Shaneman. Mr. Shaneman held out a form on a clipboard.
We require you to sign this to show that we've discussed the suspension and you'll keep Nerzan at home until Monday.
Again, I told Papa exactly what Mr. Shaneman said, and Papa signed the form.
We said nothing as we left the school and followed Papa to his cab.
Nerzan and I sat in the back, not daring to speak. There was a small rip in the leather of the seat, and I poked my finger in it. The cab smelled of perfume. Maybe Papa's last ride was a lady who wore a lot of it. It smelled like some kind of flower, but I couldn't name it.
I wished so much I was in a beautiful meadow right then, surrounded by sweet-smelling flowers, lying in the soft grass, looking up at the clouds. I tried to calm myself by thinking about this meadow, but I just kept feeling scared. Scared Papa might somehow find out I'd changed what Mr. Shaneman said.
Maybe I should have felt bad about changing Mr. Shaneman's words, but I didn't. I only felt afraid.
I don't mean that I think changing words like that is okay. I have to admit, it's sort of like telling lies. But I think maybe some lies are okay. Like in the play we read last semester about Anne Frank, and how the people who were hiding her family lied and said no one was in the attic when they really were. They lied to save Anne's family from the Nazis. Maybe I wasn't saving Nerzan from death, but I was sure scared to death of what Papa might have done if I hadn't changed the words. I stared at the back of Papa's thick neck. It was very red, and he drove in silence until he pulled up in front of our building. Papa shut off the engine. Then he put his arm across the top of the seat and turned his face to us, craning his neck. His dark eyes narrowed and his voice was severe. I am ashamed of this. To come to this school and find you in trouble, Nerzan? This does not seem like much punishment to me, this no-watching television. You will go to bed tonight without dinner. He clenched his teeth. I have lost money today because of you. And Maya, you must keep your brother out of trouble. Then he waved us away furiously, like shooing away bugs. Go now, go.
We went into the house, and Nerzan marched straight to the table in the kitchen with his books. He seemed to be in such a hurry to do his work, he didn't even take off his jacket.
Take off your jacket and hang it up, Nerzan.
Okay.
I began peeling potatoes for dinner, while Nerzan hung up his jacket. Then he sat back down at the table.
Maya, I... Don't talk, do your work.
But I missed the gymnastic meet because of you.
Watch the knife! Nerzan looked scared.
I glanced at my hand. I was holding the knife, and I'd been waving it without realizing it.
I wasn't going to stab you, stupid boy.
I was only going to say thank you. Nerzan looked glumly at his book.
I went back to peeling the potatoes. I'd had enough of him and his troubles.
For changing what Mr. Shaneman said when you told Papa, he said in a timid voice, like a little chick peeping.
It's okay, Nerzan, I sighed. Just do your work.